greet you all this morning in the name of our crucified and risen Lord and Redeemer Jesus Christ. Thank you all for joining us here today. I was inspired in the Sunday school lesson and in the devotions. Dennis said about gathering before the Lord. I trust we all have gathered before the Lord. And the next question he had was, who will we serve? And in that closing poem he had just fit so well with what I had planned to speak about this morning. I always plan my message before I look at the Sunday school lesson. And this morning when I looked at the Sunday school lesson and I realized how close it fit, or how close it was the same as to what I was thinking, I thought, well, and I still feel that way right now, and that is that if you were paying attention in the devotions and in the Sunday school lesson, then you probably gathered as much as I'm going to bring. But I trust the Lord will help you to gather just a little more. It doesn't matter how many good words I say or the preacher says. If the Lord doesn't fill us, then it'll be vain. We need to be open to what the Lord has. And I have here on the board, I'd like to use the board here again this morning to try and maybe it'll help you to sort out my thoughts. And on the left side, it talks about respected authority. And the title of my message this morning is, God is a Relational Being. God is a relational being. So we want to look at relationships, and the first one is the respected authority and its relationship with the loved subject. In other words, we have on the left side an authority, and on the right side we have a subject. And that same thought fits into God and man. God the authority, man the subject, husband and wife, teacher and pupil, home and the child, and the last one on the bottom, government as the authority and citizens as the subject of this authority. Respect. The thought of respect is loving servanthood. The thought of love is unmerited favor. And as I thought about this, God, from time to time, he calls us to study a lesson that I personally need. And I thought this was, as I looked at this more and more, I thought of that God really wants me to learn something here in what I'm looking at. And if we look at, we go back to Genesis, God in creation, God made man in his own likeness, it says, Genesis 1:27. God created man in his own image. And in B it says, and in verse 26 and 28 says, and he says, let us have dominion, let man have dominion. He gave man authority. He gave him dominion over to subdue, verse 26 through 28, he says he gave man, in verse 28, he said he gave man the authority to subdue all the animals. He gave man authority over pretty much all of his creation. So all of God's creation was subject unto man's authority. And then in verse 2, 8, chapter 2, verse 8, it says, and God planted a garden. We're all familiar with this story. And God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and he put man there whom he had formed. And it's the beginning of what I want to convey here this morning. God gave unto man, God the authority gave unto his subjects, man, he gave this to them, this garden, in verse 8. And then in verse 15, he gave man some instruction to dress and to keep it. God the authority gave man instruction, a relationship. God set up a standard. And then we go on and we find that God set up a standard, and he said, this you may eat. And he is the authority, and he's talking to his subjects. So he has the right, as the authority, to demand something of his subjects. He says, this you may eat. And if we read this certain things you may eat, and there's certain things that you may not eat. So that builds, within the standard of authority, it builds a relationship. A relationship between God and man. And then if we look in chapter 3, verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? He's walking here in the garden. Man had failed and man was hidden. Man was hidden. He'd sewed fig leaves together and he'd hid himself. Because what? The relationship was broken. There was a problem in the relationship. The subject had disobeyed the command of the authority. And there's a brokenness. But our God, he came walking in the garden, and he came there looking to restore that relationship. He was looking for man. The subject had violated, but God, the authority, he was out there and he was looking. He was searching to restore that relationship. And God is that same God today. He's out there. He's looking for a relationship with you and I. He's looking for, he wants what? He wants communion. He wants interaction. And he wants to be a part of our lives. He wants to be in this relationship with us. Respected authority and loving subjects create solid relationship. And we can go down the column and we'll do that. In God, in this situation where God came looking for man, he was not feeling the respect from his subjects. He had lost, because man had hidden himself in the bushes, he had lost that feeling of respect from his subjects. And his subjects were hidden because they refused to give God the respect that he was due. God was still loving them, but they refused the respect that he was due because of his position in this relationship. So in the next thing we see in 3:21 is that God, and unto Adam and also unto his wife, and did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them. So God took here and slew beasts, slew animals, shed blood, so that man could be covered. So this relationship could be restored. Man respects God by sacrifice. Man is called to sacrifice so that this authority, this God, and man can have a relationship. I believe the central theme of the Bible is here is God wants relationship with us. We can follow that all the way from Genesis to Revelation, that God is looking for relationship with us, his subjects. Now, relationship brings several things, what we've already looked at, and that is, first off, relationship. In relationships, we need to make a choice. God made a choice to come in the garden looking for Adam and Eve. And man needs to make a choice to renew his covenant with God in sacrifice of himself. We'll get into that a little more later. The other part of it is, this relationship, it's voluntary. God came looking for Adam, and Adam could have stayed hidden. He said, "Where are you? Where are you?" And Adam said, "Here I am. I've done wrong." But in our relationships, in all these relationships we're talking about, we have a choice. Man has a choice. And when we make a choice to enter into a relationship, there's risk involved. And we talked about that in Sunday school this morning. There's risk involved. We can get... God came looking for Adam. Adam could have stayed hidden, but Adam said, "No, here I am. I've done wrong." And so there's risk involved. Whenever we enter in any of these relationships, there's risk involved. We can be closed out. Whether we're on the subject side or whether we're on the authority side and we're looking for a relationship, we can be turned away. Relationships is voluntary. What there's freedom. There's freedom of choice. There's freedom of, whenever the relationship goes well, we feel connected and we feel a freedom. That means God chose to subject himself unto the same emotional relationship roller coaster that his loving subjects subject themselves to. In other words, God is an emotional being, and man is an emotional being, and I think we as man know, we understand how much of a roller coaster our emotions can be on, how much of a roller coaster our feelings can be on. But God's an emotional being. So within this emotional being that God is, I believe he is continually searching for us for a relationship. Relationships are work. One of the things I thought about in relationships is without some pain, there's typically no gain. There's work involved. God said in the garden, "Where art thou?" He's out looking for us. God's feeling said, "Well, I'm going to give him one other chance. He's out looking for him." He could have said, "Well, man's sinned. I'll produce another man." But no, he went looking for us. He went looking to restore that relationship. And as I think about into the Levitical law, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail in the Levitical law, the law of Moses, and where God loved man, and God gave man manna, he gave him quail, he gave him water there in the wilderness, he disciplined him, he slew animals for sacrifice, he slew man, he forgave man. Everything that man needed there in the wilderness, God gave. And what did man do in return? God was looking for, in return, in this relationship, he was looking for respect. He was looking for obedience. He was looking for honor. He was looking for praise. And he was looking for thankfulness from his subjects. And I think today God's looking for that same thing in us. God is continually giving, and he's looking in return for respect, obedience, honor, praise, thanksgiving. But we also saw there in the wilderness that God, our man, failed many times. And every time man failed, God again came looking for man. One way or another, God came looking to restore that relationship. We'll look at a little story. See, my time's going to run short this morning. Every preacher has his favorite character, and I guess y'all already figured out that my favorite character in the Bible is Elijah. So if you would turn, I'm going to try and get a couple thoughts here without taking too much time. In Elijah, in 1 Kings chapter 17, First Kings 17, and I'm going to break in this story, and I'm not going to read the whole story, just take out bits and pieces of it here, but what I want us to gather a little bit is what's happening in this relationship between God and Elijah, and God and the people, Jezebel and Ahab, and just think about what's happening in these relationships. 1 Kings chapter 17, and I'll read 6 verses. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was in the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." So Elijah is saying here, you know, it's Ahab, it's not going to rain. And I marvel at Elijah's relationship here with God, where Elijah could say, hey, he's going to say to Ahab, the wicked king, it's not going to rain for 3 years. And I believe Elijah trusted. He had a relationship so close to his God that he could say it's not going to rain for 3 years, and it's not going to rain for 3 years. God help us in our relationships. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee." So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and fish, and he did drink of the brook. So the Lord came unto him and said, hey, what you said and what you did has ruined your relationship with Ahab. Your relationship with Ahab, it's ruined. It's destroyed. But I am going to feed you. He said, go hide yourself. So in verse 5 it says, and he did as the Lord commanded, and the Lord brought ravens, and they fed him. And then we see in the next part here, it talks about the barrel meal, and your Bible readers are all familiar with, but this, the barrel meal that the widow had, and it didn't run empty, and it fed Elijah for the next, I'd have to go back, for a long time. And the widow's son was brought back to life. And Elijah saw all these miracles. He saw what was happening. Then over in chapter 18, verse 17. Yeah, verse 17, it says, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? So Elijah went to meet Ahab, to speak to Ahab, and it's worth reading. Read it sometime. But what I get out of this is Elijah went to meet Ahab, and he says, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" I mean, he has so much faith in his relationship to God that he can say to Ahab, this king that's been searching for him, "Are you the one that's troubling Israel?" Ahab said first, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" And Elijah said, "No, it's not me, but it's you, Ahab. You're the one that's troubling Israel." So Elijah still had faith. He still had a relationship with God that he could stand up and say, "No, Ahab, it's not me, but it's you that's troubling." So what I'd like us to gather here is the idea that within relationships, there's going to be conflict. Whenever we have relationships, there's a chance, there's a risk for conflict. But let's go to verse 21 in this story, and it's about they set up the fire and they asked for the prophets of Baal, and Elijah came, verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long wilt thou halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, "I only remain the prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men." And we see here then that the Lord God sent fire down to consume the altar. The prophets of Baal were cutting themselves. They were asking for fire to come down. And in verse 26, and it says, "But there was no voice nor answer. And they leaped on the altar which was made. And it came to pass," in verse 27, "it came to pass at noon, that Elijah mocked them and said, 'Cry loud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is on a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened.' And they cried more, and there was much commotion, but there was no fire." And in verse 30, Elijah said, "Hey, come near unto me." And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down, and he called, and fire came down from heaven and consumed the altar. Verse 36 is an important part of this thought. In verse 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. So God reverences sacrifice. Of his subjects. God, the authority, the respected authority, he accepts sacrifice from his loved subjects. We being his subject, he is looking for sacrifice on our part. So he says that evening sacrifice, There was a great calm, and God sent fire. Verse 37. "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again unto God." And we see that he sent the fire and consumed the sacrifice. So God can prove himself. there's a couple thoughts I'd like to get out of here yet. So God, Elijah saw this all these miracles. He saw the barrel that didn't go dry. He saw the widow that's son was brought back to life. He saw the fire come down on this altar. And then he is in chapter 19, verse 9. and he's hidden. Yeah, he's here. And Elijah's here in the desert, and he's basically hidden from God. He's hidden here. In verse 9, God says to Elijah, What are you doing here? And he says, I've done all these miracles. I've done all these things. Why are you hidden here in the desert? What doest thou here? It's the same question that God asked Adam and Eve in the garden. Where art thou? A broken relationship. And God's saying here to Elijah, where art thou? What are you doing here? And then Elijah moves into the cave. And interesting read it sometime. But a couple thoughts yet here. And in verse 13, at the end of verse 13, it says, and God came again to Elijah and said, what are you doing here in this cave? Why are you here? And I believe God asks us today yet. Where are you at? What are you doing here? God's looking for a relationship with Elijah. What are you doing here? And he says, and in verse 15, God says to Elijah, go to work, go return. There's work to do. Get up, get out of this cave and go to work. And he tells him to go and read that all the way into Elijah's life, all the way to the end of 2 Kings chapter 2, the rest of Elijah's life. God sent him to do many, many, many things. But God came searching for Elijah time and again. He came searching for him in the wilderness. He came searching for him in the cave. And beloved brethren and sisters, he'll come searching for us when we're lost in the wilderness. When we're lost in the cave, when we're not up and doing what we ought to be doing, he'll come searching for us. The authority that God has and the authority that he is in the relationship, he will come searching for us. And when he comes searching for us, are we ready to, the question is, are we ready to do sacrifice? Are we ready to love him, respect him for what he is? One verse there in John I'd like to look at. We all know that verse. John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I want to pick out here the relationship thought in this verse. This is a verse that the whole world clings to, and rightfully so. And in this verse, there's four things that God did. It says God loved and God gave, that we might not perish and that we might have everlasting life. Four things that God gave as the authority in this relationship. And on man's side, it says, what does man need to do? for his side of this relationship, he needs to believe. One thing man needs to do, and that is believe that God is God and respect him as God. Respect him as God and return that love that he just gives to us. And as we as his subjects, we need to do sacrifice. I think Paul says there in Romans 12, that present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Present all of us as a living sacrifice in this relationship, as subjects in God's relationship. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Light has come into the world. God gave his only son. In God's part of this relationship, he gave the very first, the best that he had. And beloved, man needs to make a choice. And it says men love darkness rather than light. So we can choose today whether we're going to accept God's Son, the light of this world, or we can reject and live in darkness. We have a choice. It's beloved, it's our choice whether we're going to have a relationship with God or whether we're going to neglect that relationship. Let's talk about one more relationship here, and that's, it says, the relationship with husband and wife in Ephesians 5, 21 and 25, and I don't want to focus a lot on the relationship of man and wife, but I want to focus on how important the thoughts are of this relationship with all other relationships. It says in verse 21, Ephesians 5, 21 to 25, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to, unto Christ, so let the wife be unto their own husband in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, he gave himself for it. There's 3 points I'd like to bring out of this. And the first one is in verse 21. And he says here, submit yourselves. And I'm going to say that this submitting yourselves is not only in the husband and wife relationship. It is in all relationships. And unless we submit ourselves as subjects in this relationship is going to die. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Verse 25. It says, husbands, and this is, we're talking about husbands being on the left side of the chart here, where husbands are the respected authority in this relationship. And he's saying here, husbands, give everything that you have in loving your wife, or in any relationship here, in God to man relationship. The authority is called in this relationship, in all relationships, number one, to love with all that he got. God gave his only son, the best that he had. And that's what we are called as authority in a relationship. And we're talking about lots. I only have a couple listed here. But within all relationships, I think there is an authority and there's a subject. And unless the authority gives all that he has, the best that he has, on behalf of the subject can't give all their love, all their respect to the authority. If the authority gives all his love for the subject, then the subject can give all the respect to the authority. And only under those conditions will relationships thrive. If we don't take this, love, respect, authority, subject seriously, our relationships will die. I don't care what relationships you're talking about. If it's relationship with your customer, relationship with your family, relationship with your enemy, relationship with your God. In all relationships, praise, thanks, and reverence, and sacrifice needs to come from the subject. And the authority needs to give everything. But beloved, whenever we open our hearts to relationship, there's risk. Two detriments. I'm going to close this up. Two detriments into any relationship is an authority. When the authority, on the left column, when the authority demands respect from its subjects, the government demands respect from its citizens, God demands respect from man, the teacher demands respect from her pupils rather than earning it. Whenever we demand, two detriments to any relationship, the authority demands respect instead of earning respect. The other detriment to any relationship is the subject refuses to love the authority. God made us in his own image, and we have not only the right, but we have the obligation to choose in relationship whether we're going to love, praise, thanks, and reverence to our authorities in our relationships, or if we're in authority, whether we're going to give all that we have, all that we are, for our side of the relationships. And I think, the home-going fact is that whenever there's relationship, there's two parties. And whenever there's a relationship, I believe there is an authority and there's a subject in the relationship. We can say that there's subject. We might say that there's, and as I thought about this, well, what about relationships where we think that each person is equal? There's no authority, there's no subject. They're equals in this relationship. But I think, and I finally come to the conclusion that if we are in such a relationship and we see it as an equal relationship, then we're going to fail in this relationship, because in all relationships, we need to view the other person as the authority and we the servant in the relationship. Even in God, husband, in all the chain of command, if we are in equal relationship, we still need to look at ourselves as the subject and the other person in the relationship as the authority. We need to give sacrifice to make relationship work. Let's pray. Kneel for prayer. Almighty God, we come.